today. It's Marissa, and you are listening to From Boise. Today's story is a cool one. You probably have driven past this place multiple times without knowing what's in there, which is some of my favorite stories to write and share with you. Actually, I didn't write this one, but it's one of my favorite stories to share with you because, I don't know, it's just cool when you realize you've been going by something without even knowing what's going on in there. You know what I mean? So this story is about a local business called Rocket Neon. You might know it, you might not. And this story was written by Julie Sarasqueta. You can find this story along with photos to go along with it in today's newsletter, either in your inbox or at fromboise.com. All right, here we go. In his shop located in the shadow of multi-story new apartment buildings, Will Kirkman works on an anachronism. As vehicles blow past on Myrtle, just steps outside the door, Kirkham, wearing headphones, playing an audiobook, painstakingly fills bent glass tubes with an inert gas. Eventually, with the flick of a switch, this glass will come to life as a neon sign. Kirkman is one of the last neon artists in the United States. Nearly 100 years ago, neon was a huge business. Now, by Kirkman's estimate, there are only 400 to 600 people who practice the craft nationwide. His shop, Rocket Neon, keeps the tradition alive, not just here in Boise, but throughout the state. On the day I visited, Kirkman was working on a brand new sign for a local ice cream company. A nearby table held a piece of the iconic neon sign from the Turf Club in Twin Falls. My fellow Magic Valley folks are picturing it now, which Kirkman is repairing. He said, quote, "If someone who was working in a neon shop in 1930 came by here, they would look around and recognize everything," end quote. This episode of From Boise is sponsored by the Idaho Wine Commission. Savor Idaho is coming up, and it's one of my favorite summer celebrations. It's happening on June 9th at the Idaho Botanical Garden. Savor Idaho is a wine event where you can explore more than 30 local wineries and cideries from all over the state, and you get a chance to chat with the wine and cider makers to learn more about the industry. I'm someone who doesn't really know that much about wine, so I really appreciate how approachable this event is and how much you can learn about our Idaho wine and cider industry, all while enjoying the local products. Bonus points, this event supports so many local businesses. Savor Idaho is the perfect opportunity to get with your friends. It makes for a great Mother's Day gift, or it can just be simply a reason to enjoy a day in the sun at the Idaho Botanical Garden. You can find all the details and get your tickets at idahowines.org, and you can find that link in the show notes. Peak Neon. Neon is inextricably linked to the 20th century. The element neon was first isolated by English chemists right before the turn of the century in 1898. Georges Claude, a French engineer, filed the first patent for a neon sign in 1902. By 1910, he was showcasing the first large format neon light at the Paris Motor Show, a new form of lighting illuminating a new form of transportation. Given the early connection between neon and cars, it's probably no surprise that the first neon sign in the United States was made for a Packard car dealership in Los Angeles. The showroom is long gone, but the sign still remains at the apartment complex that took its place. Neon has climbed in popularity through the 20s and 30s, just as cars made it more necessary for businesses to clearly capture attention as drivers went zooming by. Kirkman said, quote, "In the 1930s, neon was seen as this new kind of sci-fi, futuristic way of lighting the world. Then, after World War II, it became associated with bars and dens of iniquity. Part of that was reflected in film noir, in the dark-light contrast," end quote. And in the 1950s and 60s, Kirkman said, a lot of cities passed ordinances banning neon. By the 1980s, it was enjoying a brief resurgence. "And that brings us to now," Kirkman says, "when it's just a little side note in history," end quote. I'm old enough to recall when neon was everywhere. It displayed the names of my favorite restaurants. It beckoned highway travelers to hotels. When I went to college, my most frequented watering holes seemed to be lit exclusively by old neon Coors and Budweiser signs, their scrolling calligraphy and fading waterfalls hemmed with perpetual pure light. The crispness of the light is what sets neon apart from its most recent replacement, LEDs. Many of the, quote, neon signs you see today are actually made with LEDs instead of neon gas. And on paper, LED lighting is definitely the more practical choice. But neon's fallibility is part of what makes it so appealing. It's fragile. Its creation requires a specialized process. LED neon can't match traditional neon's brightness and color intensity, though, and an artist like Kirkman has more creative flexibility in how he forms the glass, which means more customization possibilities. And the color wheel for neon is still much, much broader than other options. Kirkman shrugs off the commonly touted LED advantages like longevity, too, nodding toward neon in the shape of a clothes hanger. Those hangers have been on for 20 plus years, barring power outages, he says. They were remodeling a restaurant in LA, this was maybe 10 years ago, and took down a panel. Behind it were some neon backlighting pieces that had been on for 70 years and no one knew they were there. They had just covered it over, end quote. Because a neon sign can keep humming along year after year, and because they are increasingly treasured examples of commercial art, Kirkman will always have a neon restoration gig. In fact, he's become the go-to guy for neon restoration throughout the state. I ask if there were any old neon signs in town he's been itching to work on. Nah, he says. I got my hands on all that stuff already, he said, end quote. He sometimes rescues old neon signs from trash piles and brings them to the shop. This episode of From Boise is sponsored by the City of Boise, and this is a little PSA for all the scooter riders. The City of Boise is launching a new campaign called Scoot Over. It's an initiative geared towards creating better etiquette with e-scooters in Boise. You know the e-scooters I'm talking about. I'm sure you've seen them all around town. They're so fun to ride. They get you places really quickly, but these days they really are everywhere. Like, they easily get in the way of bikers, pedestrians, and those who need more accessibility. Right now, it's prime time scooter season in Boise, and so it's super important that we're all making sure to keep our roads, sidewalks, and our beloved greenbelt safe for everyone. So that means riding scooters in the direction of traffic, using bike lanes whenever you can, and just being extra mindful of cars and pedestrians. Also, be sure to keep an eye out around Boise State and downtown for the mandatory parking zones and just being really mindful when you're riding in those high traffic areas. Seeing the light. Kirkman has been making neon signs for about 30 years, but he didn't set out to do so. He moved to Idaho because he received a College of Idaho brochure that advertised Caldwell as a place nestled in the, quote, heart of the Rockies. He earned a history degree with an art minor. History was my thing, he said. I was going to be a professor, or maybe a librarian, end quote. Of course, it didn't work out that way. He was employed but unhappy, so a want ad in the Statesman for someone who could work in neon piqued his interest. He had taken a glassblowing course in college and continued to practice long after he graduated, so he claimed he knew all about neon. He got the job. Now, he owns the last dedicated neon shop in town. Most sign companies had someone like me on staff, Kirkman says. But with the onset of LED lighting, a lot of the need for someone like me went away almost overnight, end quote. The demand for neon isn't always what it once was, but that doesn't mean you can't see Kirkman's work all over town. The Pangilly sign? That's him. The Ongi and Tori sign that welcomes you to the Basque Block? Also him. Same with the giant neon wings at the Boise Airport and the restored sign that hangs outside the Olympic. Oh, and tattoo shops. So many tattoo shops. Kirkman can't explain why tattoo shops gravitate towards neon, but I'm really glad they do, he says. As a trained artist, Kirkman also creates neon art for himself. His workshop is full of it. Everything you see here is for sale, he says, gesturing around the room. He keeps a small notebook handy to capture inspiration. He's been a key collaborator for other local artists, too, who want to incorporate neon into their work. But on a day-to-day basis, repairs and commissions are what keep him busy. He's worked on all sorts of custom projects, from a giant installation in the shape of a circuit board to an unusual private commission in the shape of a key, part of a man's anatomy. Oh, Kirkman wakes with the sun no matter the season and heads into the shop. He has a longtime apprentice who assists him when the workload is heavy. I try to work 7 hours a day, he says, including some weekends, but I like what I do, so it's not hard to get up in the morning, end quote. Neon isn't getting any less expensive, Kirkman says. His glass, for example, has to be shipped in from Minnesota because suppliers to neon artists are becoming few and far between. But that hasn't slowed Rocket Neon. Kirkman welcomes visitors to see his shop. He says he gets walk-ins every week. Some are locals who have passed by a million times and are curious about what goes on inside. Some are out-of-towners drawn in by the sign. The number of professional neon makers may be dwindling, but Kirkman plans to keep the craft alive for Idaho. He has listened to over 600 audiobooks while working, and he plans to listen to many more. I turned 65 this year, so, you know, my time is short, he says about the business. Maybe another 10 years. I'll do it until I can't. End quote. You can find Rocket Neon at 530 West Myrtle Street in Boise. To inquire about commissions, repairs, or to purchase Kirkman's original artwork, you can email rocketneon@gmail.com or call 208-371-7147. As always, you can find this story and photos that go along with it in the newsletter, which is either in your inbox or at friendboise.com. And you can find a link to the newsletter, to Rocket Neon, and to Will's contact info in the show notes. All right. Thanks for listening.